It is a joy to be here with you all. I actually had the opportunity to guest preach at a few local churches in the area, and it's always a privilege to be able to open up God's Word with other saints who are singing the same songs and looking at the same Bible together. But at the same time, it's a special joy and privilege to be able to open up God's Word with your church, the church that I love. And so, yeah, I just want to thank you all for that. I want to open up our time by asking you all a question, or rather, two questions. What are you thankful for, and why are you thankful? An op-ed piece posted in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette looked at a study that suggested gratitude actually leads to longer lifespans. Gratitude or thankfulness leads to life. So if true, how do we cultivate gratitude? Or especially for us as Christians, what should we be thankful for? That is the topic of our text this evening. If you would, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. We are going to be in verses 1 through 6 this morning. Or this evening, excuse me. And we're actually going to be doing a sermon series in the evening services through the letter to the Philippians. So over the next few months, actually over probably the year or so, we're going to be walking slowly through the book of Philippians. And tonight, we will be in Philippians 1, verses 1 through 6. And before we dive in to our text, let me provide a little bit of context to the book of Philippians, or the letter to the Philippians. This letter was written somewhere around the year 62 AD by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony situated in Macedonia, think in between modern-day Turkey and Greece. And Acts 6:16 tells us how the church was founded. This church plant involved Paul sharing the gospel with a woman, a Jewish woman named Lydia, who was later converted. Paul then was beaten and thrown in jail, and while in jail, a massive earthquake occurred. And the jailer, Paul's jailer, fearing that the individuals in the jail had escaped, was going to take his life when Paul shouted that, "Here we are, we are still here." And later, Paul would share the gospel with him, and he would also become a Christian. And all of a sudden, a church was formed, a radical church planting strategy, not one I would personally draw up, but our God is much bigger than our own schemes. Now, Paul, an old man and unsure of his future, sits in a Roman jail and is writing to encourage this fledgling church. There are many themes worth mentioning in this letter to the Philippians, but let me give you just the main idea of the letter as a whole, which we will see unpacked as we go through this letter together over the next year or so. The main idea of the letter to the Philippians is really quite simple. Christians are to pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. Again, the whole main idea of the letter to the Philippians is this. Christians are to pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. And even tonight, we'll see elements of this major theme reflected in the opening verses of Philippians. In Philippians 1, verses 1 through 6, we will see three reasons why that we as Christians should be thankful to God. In verses 1 through 2, we will see the reason of gospel peace. In verses 3 through 5, we will see the reason of gospel progress. And in verse 6, we will see the reason of gospel perfection. So our main idea follows this outline. Thank God for gospel peace, gospel progress, and gospel perfection. Again, the main idea of Philippians 1, verses 1 through 6, is thank God for gospel peace, gospel progress, and gospel perfection. And please follow along as I read our text, Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So while the main verb of this section is actually found in verse 3, verses 1 and 2 give us the first reason that we should be thankful to God. We should thank God for gospel peace. Look down with me again at verses 1 through 2. Our text begins with a standard ancient salutation in the Greco-Roman world. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Just like writing an email, a physical letter, or introducing yourself over text. Letters in the Greco-Roman world consisted of the name of the sender, their addressee, and a common greeting of some sort. Here we see Paul and Timothy as the senders, the Philippian church as the addressee, and the greeting, grace and peace. And there is a lot here that I could draw attention to and that we could look at. For example, we could look at how both Paul and Timothy are mentioned as the senders. Or we could look at how Paul humbly describes themselves as servants or slaves of Jesus. Or we could even look at the mention of Paul writing to all the church together with a plurality of elders and deacons, hinting at the major theme of unity. But tonight, I want us to just linger on that last statement. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I just want us to marvel at this reality. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus for your salvation, then recognize the full weight of this statement. You have peace with God. The God who created the entire universe. The God who created our world and had filled it with every living creature in it. Andrea and I had the opportunity to visit some friends down in Fort Smith. And I remember as we drove down, staring in amazement at the Boston Mountains, all the green trees dotting the hills or mountains, big and majestic mountain range. We have peace with a God who has the power to create mountain ranges with just a word. And it's all more awe-inspiring when we recognize that we, like Paul, used to be rebels. We were once enemies of God, but because of God's loving kindness, he extended his grace and peace to us. The gospel of grace brings peace to sinners, and enemies of God become friends of God. So for those of you who are in Christ, for us members of UBC, we should thank God because of gospel peace. And if you're sitting here this evening and you don't know Christ, if your faith is not in Jesus, then let me invite you even this moment to turn from your sin, to place your faith in Jesus, and to find peace with this great God. The only way to enjoy peace with God, peace which surpasses all understanding, is to trust the peacemaker, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made peace for rebels by the blood of his cross. So if you're sitting here this evening and you don't know Christ, turn from your sin and place your faith in Jesus. Thank God for gospel peace. So we have seen in verses 1 through 2 the first reason that We as Christians should give thanks to God. Gospel peace. And in verses 3 through 5, we will see the second reason why we should thank God. Gospel progress. We should give thanks to God because of gospel progress. Look down with me again at verses 3 through 5. It says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul opens his letter to the Philippians by thanking God for the Philippians. And pay attention to the logical flow of these few verses. In verse 3, we have the action, Paul thanks God. In verse 4, we have the manner by which Paul gives thanks, with joy. And in verse 5, we have the reason for Paul's thanks, because of the Philippians' partnership in the gospel. Paul thanks God joyfully for their partnership in the gospel. Another word that captures this idea of partnership is fellowship. Paul and the Philippians have entered into a kind of fellowship together. And the immediate context of the letter suggests that Paul is thanking them for their financial support. But that word partnership also holds a greater connotation. There is a spiritual element to that partnership. The church at Philippi has entered into a spiritual fellowship with Paul. They're supporting the work of the Great Commission financially and spiritually. Paul will say later in the letter in 4:15, you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. The Philippians supported Paul from the very beginning. In fact, Paul has been on the supported worker page in the back of the Philippians membership directory since day one. Imagine having the Apostle Paul's picture right there in the back of our membership directory. Paul even calls this gospel partnership a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God in 4:18. God is going to cause the gospel to progress towards the ends of the earth. And the way we support gospel progress is by financially and spiritually supporting gospel work. And there are two practical applications we can take away from this as a church. First, like we were praying for earlier, budget season is about to begin for the church, and the elders are going to be thinking about ways and partnerships that we can support the Great Commission. So very practically, pray for your elders. Pray that they would have wisdom as they begin to discern and consider which partnerships they should pursue, and we as a church should pursue. Second, we as a church should continue supporting works that help the gospel progress to the ends of the earth. Remember, partnership is more than writing a check. It involves active participation, support, and prayer from the church body. From all of us. If I can brag on UBC for a moment, UBC has a long and faithful history of supporting good gospel work. In fact, I myself was a recipient in the pastoral residency of the radical generosity of this church. We as a church should continue to be faithful in supporting work that helps the gospel progress to the ends of the earth. Paul thanks God because of gospel progress. And we should thank God because of gospel progress. So let us thank God for gospel progress. So we have seen in verses 1 through 2, we should thank God for gospel peace. And in verses 3 through 5, we have seen that we should thank God for gospel progress. And finally, our last point, we should thank God for gospel perfection. Verse 6. Look down with me again at verse 6. It reads, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is 100% confident that God is going to complete, or some other translations use the word perfect, the work that he began in you. What work is Paul referring to? Well, he's referring to the work of salvation. God began the work of salvation within you, and he is going to complete that work. When Christ returns, a future day that we await with great and longing expectation. If you're a young parent, then you're probably familiar with the cartoon Bluey. The TV show follows the adventures of a blue heeler puppy, Bluey, who lives with her mom, her dad, and her sister. And there's one particular episode in this cartoon that I admit I sometimes watch with my son, where Bluey is trying to make the perfect card for her dad to give to him on Father's Day. But there's a problem. It's never good enough. She tries and she tries, but it's never good enough. In fact, it's never perfect. All her work is in toil. Thank the Lord that our faith and our salvation is not a result of our own work. Our salvation is not a result of really hard effort, but is instead a work that is started and finished in God. Charles Spurgeon once said, "If Christ finished the work for us, he will finish the work in us." He who has said it is finished will never leave anything undone. Brothers and sisters, Christ is going to finish the work of salvation in your life. And also notice that Paul thanks God for the salvation that God is going to perfect in every believer at the Philippian church. That "you" statement there is actually in the plural. All y'all, he says. Salvation is a corporate work. And like Paul, we should thank God for the salvation that he is perfecting and completing in the life of every believer at this church. You want to know how to cultivate joy in your life? You cultivate joy by studying and thanking God for the redemptive work that he is doing in each and every member of this church. When you see the grace of God being worked out in the lives of other Christians for the sake of the gospel, thank God. You want to know how to build unity in our church? You start by giving thanks to God for every believer in this church. Thankfulness produces joy that builds unity. The third reason we should thank God is because of gospel perfection. And I want to end our time reminding us of the source of our thankfulness. We thank God for gospel peace because of Jesus Christ. We thank God for gospel progress because of Jesus Christ. We thank God for gospel perfection because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation and source of our thankfulness. So let us cast our eyes off ourselves and begin to cast our gaze upon Jesus Christ, our great Savior. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for this letter. We thank you for the reminder that we have been purchased and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and we await the day when he will perfect our faith. So now, Father, continue to build us up in love, joy, humility, and unity as we turn to you, our true source of peace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.